eyes on North Korea this morning and the transition to a new leader.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Steve Chiatakis. For almost two decades, Kim Jong-il kept North Korea and its economy isolated. With his death, control is expected to pass to his youngest son, Kim Jong-un. To help us understand what this change might mean for economic relations with the U.S., we've got Victor Cha on the phone. He was President George W. Bush's top advisor on North Korean affairs and is now director of the Asian Studies Program at Georgetown University. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the current economic relationship between the U.S. and North Korea?
The current economic relationship is really non-existent. The North Koreans have been under sanctions for decades now, and while there have been attempts to loosen sanctions against North Korea, they have not really resulted in any substantive economic cooperation whatsoever. So there really is not much at all that's happened between the two countries economically.
And how could this transition change that relationship?
Well, right now there don't seem to be any prospects for any major change. The only likely scenario under which you'd see major change is if a new leadership were to denuclearize, give up all their nuclear weapons, were to revise human rights policies and opt for normalization of political relations with the United States, then you could see a complete rewriting of the relationship. But at this point in time, there are pretty heavy odds against that sort of thing happening.
And so is there anything on the smaller level that might change?
On the economic side, you know, just before news of the death of the North Korean leader, there were negotiations last week over restarting food assistance to North Korea from the United States. There were also working-level discussions about restarting a POW-MIA remains recovery project that the U.S. military was doing in cooperation with the North Korean military. Again, these are very small pieces, and it's unclear whether any of this will move forward until the smoke clears in North Korea with regard to what happens after Kim Jong-il.
Victor Cha is the director of the Asian Studies Program at Georgetown University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Following the news of Kim Jong-il's death, South Korea and Japan are on high alert. It's a whole lot of uncertainty, and it's rattled the Asian markets. Let's do the numbers. Those markets in Asia are down this morning, but markets in Europe are up. In Germany, the DAX has gained more than 1%. In Sweden, carmaker Saab filed for bankruptcy, which likely means the end of the automaker, this time for real. The Dow gave up 2.5% last week, finishing at 11,866. And today in Washington, D.C., lawmakers are back at work, which is different than saying they're actually getting work done. House Republicans have decided not to go along with a bipartisan payroll tax cut bill approved by the Senate over the weekend. Marketplace's David Gura reports on where we go from here.
House Speaker John Boehner said the Senate was kicking the can down the road, voting on a two-month extension. Howard Gleckman is with the Tax Policy Center, and he says that from an economics perspective, Boehner may have a point.
I don't think it's going to change people's behavior very much if they think they're going to get a tax break for just a couple of months.
Supporters of the tax cuts say Americans will spend the money they're not paying in taxes up to $1,000. Alex Brill is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute.
That extra money people will take to the store. They'll go shopping, and that will get the economy going again.
But Brill thinks many Americans will just pocket the money. Howard Gleckman expects Congress will come up with some kind of deal, but he's not optimistic it'll be a one-year extension.
This is Washington's version of Groundhog Day. We have so much fun doing this every few months. We just keep doing it.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. and by Money Magazine, a personal finance magazine now accessible on tablets like iPad, Nook Color, Kindle Fire, and select Android devices. Money.com/allaccess.
Part of the fun of the new year is looking backward to the economic year that was and to indulge in just a little crystal ball gazing to the year ahead. Joining me now is Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Adrian.
So markets today are almost exactly where they were at the beginning of the year. Did all the volatility and up and down actually mean anything?
Well, the question is, if you get on a roller coaster, it goes up and down and swings around, and you get off at pretty much the same place you got on. Has it meant anything? The answer is you had a lot of fun and your stomach lurched.
A lot of adrenaline.
Well, that is what we do here, isn't it?
So what is the business story of the year that maybe we didn't talk about as much as we should have?
Now, I think the business story of the year is I think things may actually be getting better. But one of the reasons we didn't talk about it is that I can't prove that. It's a feeling I have because it's been now, depending on when you start to count, 5 or 6 years since things started falling apart. And it's time for them to get better. And I think they probably are.
Well, that's a story to look forward to in 2012. But tell me that next year we won't have to keep talking about Greek debt over and over and over.
I'll tell you that, but
but you don't mean it.
Won't, but I don't mean it. I suspect I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce drachma correctly, that being the Greek currency, because something is going to happen. Now, if I knew what it was, I would A, be rich, and B, more than happy to tell our listeners, but I don't know. But it's going to still be a story in 2012.
All right. We'll look ahead to 2012. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And finally, the most annoying word of 2012 isn't like, and it's not like, well, you know. No, it's whatever. That's according to a survey by the Marist Institute for Public Opinion. Whatever they say is like seriously annoying to people. Literally, I'm just saying, whatever. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrian Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
You know those big brown delivery trucks you see on the road? Apparently, sometimes they come in green, as in good for the environment.
Well, I've been driving for 34 years with UPS. My previous package car used to gas up every week, and now I gas up once a month.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Corporate Sustainability Officers, and what exactly they do. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.